You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
Well, our theme, as we saw in that card, what is it all about? What's it all about? You know, this is kind of a question that it might come up at different times throughout your day, throughout your week. You know, what you might say to yourself, oh, what's this family thing all about? What's work all about? What am I doing? What am I going to work? You know, you might be at a function, a party or something, and people will start opening up on the big questions. What's the universe all about? Or what's life all about? And, you know, these are all questions that we might throw out or other people throw out, and it could be that we're truly looking for an answer, or someone is truly wanting to know what is it about. Sometimes, though, it can be that they're just trying to throw out something to stir the pot and, you know, get you to react or things like that. But it doesn't actually matter, you know, whether it's just a musing that you might be having or someone else is kind of pondering, or if there is someone who's trying to stir the pot and get you reacting, because there is only one response to a question like that. What is it all about? Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, I've been so impacted by Jesus in my world. I've been impacted, just it turned around. Nothing before, nothing since has created such a shift in my world like when I met Jesus. You know, He gave me life. He gave me life that wasn't just breathing, but it was life in abundance. He gave me a sense of fullness and completeness, of richness that I didn't know before was possible. He flicked on a switch inside of me that enabled me to overcome situations that I was struggling with, overcome things that I thought were impossible to shift. He gave me a vision of who I really was. Not who I thought I was, not who other people probably said I was, but who I really was and who I really could be, what I could be and for the future. And He set me on a path for eternity with Him. Not just fixing up my day to day, but an eternal future, an eternal path that gave me hope. Most of all, Jesus showed me what love was all about. Let's turn to John 10 and have a wander through this passage. Verse 1 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. You know, life has an enemy. It's real. Jeff just talked a minute before, like, you know, we're in a war. We are. There really is an enemy. And this enemy can be subtle or aggressive. This enemy is like a thief that sneaks over a wall and tries to steal what is not rightfully theirs. You know, people belong to God. That's what He created them for. They belong to Him. They are His special possession. But the enemy, Satan, is trying to steal them away. He's trying to sneak over that wall and grab hold of them. And this can be a subtle thing. Like for me, the subtle side of it was that I had a false comfort. A false comfort in the fact that I was okay. I was good. I did the right thing. I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get suspended at school. I obeyed my parents. All those things, you know, everything was good. And this false comfort that was enough. But also there was times when the enemy kind of was a bit more aggressive and tried to suck me into to a life that seemed attractive. It looked good on the outside, but in the end, it would actually lead to disaster. It would lead to grief and pain. And it looked nice and shiny and bright, but the reality was different if it projected to the future. In Luke 8, there's a story of a lady, and she's been bleeding for 12 years. Her life is being sucked out of her, literally. And in this space, in her condition, it's led to other things. It's led to her being isolated. It's led to her being ostracized because with this condition, she could not be around other people. It was against the Jewish customs and rules. And because of her situation, she had no money left because she'd spent it all on trying to find a fix. You know, she had this problem and needed a fix, and she just let all her finances get drained out, finding a doctor after doctor that could maybe do something. And in the middle of all this, she was completely consumed because it ruled her life. This problem that was drawing life out of her, that was causing, leading her to death, was just consuming her because she couldn't do anything about it. You know, this was a real person in the Bible. But for us, it can be a picture of how we might feel at different times, of things that might be going on in our world. And it could be our own making that these things have happened. We might have created circumstances, made choices and had decisions that have causing things to be sucked out of us, life to be drained. Decisions that are crushing us. We may be ostracized and separated because of those decisions. We might be financially struggling. Different things can go about. Sometimes it's not even our choice that these things have happened. It's the circumstances around us, maybe the implications of other people's choices that are kind of crushing our world and just causing us to struggle and just to heading towards death, really. Life is being drawn out of us. Verse 2 says, "But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice." What a great verse. It's a great verse because it shows us that it is an order to life. Life is not supposed to be chaotic and insecure. It was not meant to be that way. God didn't create a world that just kind of was meant to just this massive chaos. God created a world of order, that everything was perfect, everything was right. That chaos came in through sin, through Satan, through choosing to follow Adam and Eve, choosing their own way instead of choosing God's way. This chaos disrupted the way the world was supposed to be. But Jesus says, no, there is a right order in our world. There is a place, there is a way that there is a shepherd, there is a gatekeeper, that there is a right way for those sheep to be connected to the shepherd, that things work when it's done right. And that gives me great confidence. It gives me great hope. It sounds so enticing to me. My heart longs for that. Beginning to sound a little bit like love. It's a place of security. It's a place of hope. Verse 6 says, "Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, they didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. He said, "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep." Verse 9, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures." Wow, that just blows me away. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." He says, "Let me assure you, there is truth. There is real truth out there." Jesus said, "I am the truth. Let me tell you the truth. I am the gate." Jesus is laying down the facts for his disciples, for the people around him. All those people are kind of following him. Well, what's it all about? That's why they're following him. They're trying to work out life and that they're drawn to something. What's it all about? This is the foundation of our faith. It's Jesus. It's only through Jesus that we can have life. It's only through him. He is the gate. That is the truth. Of this, I am completely convinced. Completely, 100% convinced. It doesn't matter what other philosophies, other ideas, what other theories there might be out there. There is only one truth, and that is Jesus. There is only one way to have life and to have it in abundance, and that is through Jesus. Everything else apart from that is false. That is what he says in verse 8. Everything else apart from me, Jesus, is thieves and robbers trying to steal away what the truth is, trying to steal away the life that is rightfully yours, trying to steal away the abundance that you could be living in. On this, we can't be moved. This is the foundation of our faith. Jesus is the gate. Only through him do we have life. In verse 10, he says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." In another version, the NASB, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Everything else is for destruction. That is the end projection. That's where it will go. No matter what is promised, that's where it goes to. What's it all about? Jesus' purpose is to give life. It's all in all its fullness, in all its abundance, in all its richness. What's it all about? It's about love. Because this life, this abundant life, is the first part to understanding this love. You know, Jesus is the embodiment of love. It talks about God is love. And we can get all confused about that word love because in English it just means so many things. And it can be used to manipulate people in different ways. But love, real love, is God. And Jesus is the embodiment of what that is. It begins with his purpose to bring us life. It's not half-baked. It's not false, but real life. Jesus in verse 11 said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep," because that's how it works. Jesus lays down his life in order that he can give us life. That is what love is. Love is laying down life, laying down your life, laying down what you would have. to give to others. You know, Jesus, it talks about in Philippians, it talks about everything that he let go of. Like, he was with God in heaven from the beginning. He was the creator of the world with God. And that he let go of that, every bit of it, in order to come down and to walk on the earth. And not only that, then he even gave up his breath and died on the cross so that he could give us that strength and that power and everything that he let go of in heaven. That's not the way the world works. In verse 12, it says, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Nothing else in the world cares and loves like Jesus does. Nothing else in the world can promise and deliver. The other things that are offered, it may be through other religions. It may be through job promotions. It may be through family connections. It may be through anything else. It might be through substances or different things that the world might put out there. They might offer as a relief, as a release, as a hope. They can't deliver. All those things are like a hired hand or a thief. When danger comes, they will fail. They cannot protect. They cannot keep secure. They will let disaster ravage and cause pain and misery. On the other hand, verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. You know, when all was lost, our world was in disaster. Jesus came and sacrificed his life for the people he loved, for the people that he created and purpose was to bring life to. That is love. That is what it's all about. And the first part of love is life in abundance. You know, our lady who's been bleeding for 12 years, her life is draining out of her. And in chapter 8 of Luke, verse 44, it says, coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. You know, that the worries of her world, this situation that was consuming her, everything was pressing in on her. But she had to push against the grain of what other people thought, what other people said, in order to get into that place, to get to that spot where Jesus was. The crowds were pushing in. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. And when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." At that moment, when everything is pressing in on her, when life is draining out, the crowds are pressing in, situation is pressing in, she just reaches out to touch. And immediately, at that moment, power surges into her body. Power from Jesus, God's Son, surges into her body, pulses through her veins. Healing takes over her whole body. She just reached out and life flowed into her. Life abundant. It found that spot where that bleeding was happening. And instead of that lifeblood flowing out, the lifeblood of Jesus began to flow in. It was life that changed her. Completely switched around what was going on. And as she realized what was going on, as she realized what had just happened, she's trembling with, I don't know, fear, joy, excitement. She's trembling with the power of God inside of her, healing her, giving her that life. And never again would she be the same. Never again was she to be isolated, ostracized. Never again would those things be pressing in on her, because now she had life, life in abundance. And, you know, this is what Jesus did for me. I remember that time. I remember sitting on a beach in Hawk's Nest. And a week previous, I'd been going, "What's it all about?" Someone had come to me and they said, "Let me tell you about Jesus." And they talked to me. They talked to me about his power to forgive. He talked to me about how he died on the cross in order that I might have life. And as I sat on the beach a week later, it all kind of clicked into gear. And suddenly, as I sat there and I said, "I'm sorry, Jesus. Please forgive me." Immediately, life started flowing through my body. Life started flowing inside of me and healing me from the inside out. And everything that I had done, all the mistakes that I had made and the ways that I'd messed up, started just kind of being cleansed away. And there was this feeling of whiteness, of lightness, of brightness, of joy, of everything that was just welling up inside of me. And as I sat on the beach and the waves are kind of rolling in, and it was like they were washing out everything that was a mess, everything that was a disaster, everything that was wrong. And it was replaced with a new life and a cleanliness and a freshness and an abundance, and it was just overwhelming. That was love. That's what it was all about. Suddenly, what was death was now life. The first part of love is His purpose. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. And just as we sit here this morning, I just want you to close your eyes and just think back. Is there a time in your world when you felt that amazing sense of life course through your body, an indescribable sense of joy and fullness and richness that you didn't know was possible before? Is there a point that Jesus came in and gave life? And as you remember that time, who is it that you long to tell about Jesus to? Who is it that you long to tell them about this life? Are there people in your world who are struggling? Are they at work? Are they at home? Are there people who you just want to go, let me tell you about Jesus? Because you know inside of you that Jesus will fix their problems. You know from your experience that Jesus will make a difference in their world. And these people have names. What are their names? Think about them. Imagine what could happen in their world if they received life in abundance. Imagine how their world could be completely transformed. You know, life from Jesus. For the lady who was bleeding, immediately the bleeding stopped and life flowed into her body. Something changed. And no matter what it might look like on the outside, there may still be external things that are difficult, that might take time to put back into place. But inside, there's a life that is welling up. A life that can look forward and go, I can get through this. Because I have life inside of me that will help me overcome and push me through these circumstances which are pressing around me. And there's a life that's welling up and clearing my vision and letting me see who I really am and who I am in God. And there's a life that's welling up inside of me and reminding me of what my eternal destiny is, my eternal future, and giving me hope and courage to keep pushing forward and knowing that there's life beyond here as well. That's what we can have for the people around us. That's what they can have. And so think of those people. What are the prayers that you would pray for them? But maybe it's you sitting here today who longs for that life. It's not your friends. Maybe you've seen it in them. But today you're sitting here and you're going, I need that. Because my world is pressing in and I can't push through. And I've done everything I can do, but I can't make a difference. This morning, what's it all about? It's about Jesus. And it's about His expression of love. When He died on the cross and gave up His life so that you could have life in abundance.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org.
Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in you.